some way throughout the year, thinking about each other, sharing each other's hopes and dreams, and working through each other's problems in parish life, and now coming together at this great colloquium. We've all been looking forward to this, and this year we can tell there's a special electricity in the air, just about what we're doing and the momentum behind what we're up to. And we're all very excited about this. Of course, this evening, did you all catch the point of the Dos Equis beer? Capture some of the spirit of the cloakroom. And so it's wonderful to be in Pittsburgh, isn't it? Yeah. It's like that movie Guys and Dolls where there's the floating crap game. You know, this is a floating colloquium. We go from Washington to Chicago and out of Pittsburgh. It's very exciting about Pittsburgh. You know, when I first drove into town, I had never been to Pittsburgh before. It was so exciting to me to see the town. It was intimidating and immense, and it seemed to suggest such history and such a complex interrelationship of all these of all these lives that have been here for so long, and so intimidating and scary. You're driving over the bridge, and yet it's inevitable. You have to just plunge in and get to know one little small sector, and you fall in love, and I really have fallen in love with Pittsburgh. And then it occurred to me, Pittsburgh is very much like the Gregorian chant. In that sense. It's scary, intimidating, and then you take on one little part of it, you fall absolutely in love with it, and you want to make it your home. I feel that way about Pittsburgh this week. I'm looking forward to making it my home. In the same way that I've made Gregorian chant my home for all these years. There are many people here tonight who are old hands at this art, this craft, this theology of chant, and many of us who are new, and I think probably some of us are a little bit afraid. That would be normal. I was for many years afraid of this vast repertoire, and who am I to be singing this thing that comes from us from such early times in church history. So many others have sung, so many others that have come before and participated in. So many singers and masters of chant who are so much better than we are and will never be that good. And as long as we ever sing, we'll never sing every chant, and we'll never sing it well enough, really, to achieve what we should achieve with it. So to sing a Gregorian chant in so many ways is an act of humility, because we know of our imperfections, and yet we do it anyway. I think one of the things you will find at the colloquium is a certain sense of humility. There's no arrogance here. There's no true masters. There's no show-offs. So if you feel yourself somehow out of your league, I promise you that you're not alone. I am certainly out of my league. I've always been, ever since I first started singing chant. I probably will remain that way until I die. So the only thing I would encourage you to do is to learn, to throw yourself into it, to not be shy, to ask as many questions as you can. There are many great experts in this room. The more you know, the more you're aware of how little you know about this music. Between everybody in this room, there's a great deal of knowledge. Even all the knowledge accumulated in this room together can't compare with the knowledge that's embedded in the tradition. You know, the tradition is so much wiser than all of us. So, of course, that implies a certain humility on the part of all of us. There's no snobbery. We are very aware that many of us come from different traditions, different backgrounds. We live in a strange time, and this music is in some ways being rediscovered. And it's up to us, this generation that's been given to us, to do something about the absence of chant in our liturgy, and to do something to refurbish it, to make it a living presence again, the music of the church, and to pass it on to the next generation. It's something that we can do, something I can do. It makes my life more meaningful. It gives me an element of immortality that's associated with bringing the chant alive in your parish, in your small social circle, whatever it may be. It grants a certain meaning to your life that it otherwise wouldn't have. It's certainly better than just being merely a Steelers fan, for example, which I certainly am now. So, even though I know absolutely nothing about football, even though I'm from Auburn, Alabama.
Yes.
I should introduce myself. My name is Jeffrey Tucker. I'm the managing editor of Sacred Music. It's my great pleasure to work under the master, William Mark, who will be speaking with us later this evening. As the evening progresses, we'll have a little chant rehearsal for tomorrow's English Mass, and then we'll have a talk from William Mark. Before we begin that, though, I'd like to introduce our faculty for the week. These will be your teachers, your colleagues, your friends. Actually, before we do that, let me just say something about the CMAA. We have a very long history. It dates back to something like the 1870-somethings, you know, with the origin of the St. Gregory Society of America and the Society of St. Cecilia. They merged in 1965, of all times, right? If you know about church history, you know that was a very interesting time, 1965, to become the Church Music Association of America. This is a very special year for us because it's not only the 20th colloquium, it's also the first sit-down served meal in their history. I think we've come to a Goldman Sachs stockholders meeting or something. I can't quite get used to it. This whole sensibility. What's going to happen? Is we're all going to get spoiled and get lazy? Is this our future? I don't know. But anyway. Maybe you don't know, the Church Music Association of America is something of a miracle. This colloquium is a miracle. Did you know that the CMAA has no payroll? We have nobody on staff who receives a regular salary. It may surprise you. It surprises me all the time. Everybody who works for us is, in large part, a volunteer. So we're very different from many organizations that would, for example, gather 250 people in a room and have a sit-down dinner. So it's a very unusual. We're a poor organization with a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and a lot of inspiration behind it and a lot of prayers. I would like to especially thank those who, the many generous benefactors who've made it possible for many people in this room to come here as on scholarship, actually. So a special thank you to all those who have given, especially many of whom are not here, many of whom asked not to be named. They made it possible for many people who are here to be here. On the faculty, let's introduce them first before I go through the week and what we can expect. I don't think there's any reason to clap between them. It'll save time if we just kind of go through them. Wilco Brouwers first. If you would stand, Wilco Brouwers from the Netherlands. He'll be conducting the Advanced Women and also the Bird Graduale for the week. Horst Buchholz, maestro. Horst, there he is. Wonderful. Horst Buchholz. He will be conducting on Sunday the Schubert Mass. William Mart, president of the CMA. We'll get plenty of chance to cheer him later this evening. Jeffrey Ostrowski. There he is, new faculty member, famous in so many ways. You know, so many of the online resources that you use, this man is a genius. Okay. Scott Turkington, wonderful. He's now at St. John Baptist Cathedral in Charleston, and he'll be conducting the beginning chant class. I know several people who are actually advanced singers who have decided they want to take the beginning class just so they can just study under him. So, Arlene Ostzener. My colleague in Auburn, Alabama, she'll be conducting Women's Scola, the Intermediate Women's Scola this week. And also, I'm sure you've all corresponded with her at some point or another. She is, of course, the machine of the CMA. She also goes by the name. Conducting the Palestrina Musa Brevis this week. Father Robert Paisley, a great man, great priest, Mater Ecclesiae New Jersey, and he spoke to us earlier. Is he here still? Yes, Father Paisley. Thank you, Father Paisley. Great mentor to all of our priests. David Hughes. David Hughes. Ah, there he is. Yeah. He can improvise on any song in the Gather Comprehensive, actually. Yeah. He's serving breakfast tomorrow morning. Chocolate donut and McGinnis, right? Is it for anybody? Cecilia Nam. Where's Cecilia? Ah, there she is. Yes. She's conducting our beginning scholar this year. You know, she's fascinating because she's interested in the way you sing. I don't know if you've ever met anybody who can go up to and say, well, you know, I have a slight problem with my voice. And they say, oh, really? What is it? Tell me more about it. You feel just so self-indulgent to talk to her, you know? She called me out of the bar. I went on and on for, I don't know, 15 minutes about my vocal problems. Vaguely, she seemed to be interested. Anne Lubunsky. Where's Anne? Where's Anne? Is Anne here? Yes. Oh, Anne. Yes, hi, Anne. So Anne really is the reason we're here. Can we just give her a round of applause? It was the most impossible thing last year. I remember at Duquesne, we were at the lunchroom or something. You said, well, why don't you just come, why don't you come to Duquesne next year? And we all thought, oh, that's just the craziest idea I've ever heard. But here we are. Isn't that wonderful? So thank you for your vision and your generosity and your wonderful charity. Father Kirby. Okay, Father Kirby. There's Father Mark Daniel Kirby. He is now famous for, of course, that article that appeared this time last year that arrived in your mailbox in Sacred Music and kept you busy for 12 months trying to, with the dictionary on one side and the other. a great inspiration to all of us. Anyway, it's a pleasure to have you as a new faculty member this year. Ed Schaefer? Yes, Dr. Schaefer is responsible for really producing the first sung sacramentary in English, and a new faculty member this year, and he'll be lecturing to us this week. Mary Weaver, where is she? Mary Mezzo. I know her by her email address. There she is. She put the packet together this year. She's just a geek. Technical mastery like I've never seen. Jonathan Eason. You know, this man, Jonathan Eason, has done something historic. He has put together the first really widely distributed version of the Schubert Mass in G that will be spread on the internet in a matter of days. He also did the new music reading packet. And by the way, the Schubert Mass, I just want to say something about that. For those of you who are planning to sing the Schubert Mass, you've undoubtedly noticed it's not in the packet. We have separate editions of that prepared by Jonathan Eason. And we've given those away to those who are kind to sing. For those who, we only have 150 copies. So those who don't get a copy, if you just give us a few days, we'll make it online for immediate download from Musica Sacra, so don't worry about it. Janet Gorbitz has handled the catering this week, so she's gone through every meal and planned them brilliantly within our budget, I should add. So, William Stoops is our treasurer. He keeps us out of trouble with the government. So we're always grateful for that. Kyle Murphy will be selling our books this week. Where's Kyle? There he is. Yes, he's our bookman. You're a master of Panera breads and things like that. You have a long retail experience, right? Yeah, okay, so I can tell your retail experience. I backed way away when I saw you managing those books over there. I thought, okay, this is the guy. Benjamin Cornelius Bates is our, where is Benjamin? Is he here tonight? Okay, fine. Well, he'll be our sacristan this week, and he'll be, if you need to have any special practicing needs this week with piano or organ or anything else, you can talk to him. Isabel Demers. Is Isabel with us tonight? Ah, Isabel, yes. So this is an interesting person because she's a world-class organist, very famous. Many people all over the world would love to just get a few minutes with her, you know, pay any price. But she's here with us. She's a master of the organ. She's giving us a recital, I think. Is it tomorrow night? Yeah. So So we're all very excited to meet her. I hope we get a chance to visit with her. She's a charming person, and we're very honored with her presence. Paul Weber? Paul, I have your name down, and I have nothing next to it.
Ken.
What?
Panel on Thursday.
Right, okay, the panel on Thursday, yes. He's a student bill.
And because he's just Paul Weber.
That's reason enough to introduce him. That's right. Susan Tracy, Professor Tracy from Ave Maria University, author of A Wonderful Guide to Gregorian Chant, and also on the board of the CMAA, and who will be on the panel on Thursday. Sister Marie Agatha Rosa, is she here? Yes, there she is, sister, yes. She's on the faculty at Duquesne, and will be on the panel on Thursday also. Father Phillips will join us on Wednesday, and that's it for the faculty. Have I left anybody out, Arlene? Okay. Doing okay so far?
This is one question
okay.
I'm not
okay. Oh, and a special thank you to the School of Music for all the water bottles. Just fill up the water bottles. Okay. Yeah. Again, I remind you, we have no paid staff here. So it's an important thing to remember with the colloquium. In many ways, we all have to be self-managing. That's true. Okay, let's kind of walk through the week a little bit here and see if we can talk about some of the events that we've got coming up. I hope you've all had a chance to read through things like guidelines for choosing a chant scholar. And guidelines for choosing a polyphonic choir. I'll mention a few of these things, but my remarks that are going to follow, I'm going to presume that you've kind of gone through this a little bit. Every night we have night prayer. In the morning prayer we have over the chapel. So I hope you join us for that. There's many people have put a lot of time into preparing these wonderful prayers. It'll help you. It'll help you to a good experience for your parish life too. To sing these night prayers, the things you can take back with you. Tomorrow we have the, after my talk, we're going to have a quick rehearsal for the English Mass tomorrow. You know, it's odd when we plan the colloquium, it turns out that the English Mass is one of the most difficult to prepare, because there's so many options, you know, there's so many different things. And this year we're trying to something special. We're singing all the propers, but each of the propers we're doing from a sort of different genre of chant or polyphony with various composers. Some is English set to the original Gregorian chant melody, some are newly composed chant melodies. We have a newly composed English Mass by Richard Rice, and I just want to say a special thank you, actually, to Richard. He's not here with us, but he does so much, doesn't he? We all know his name, right? He's done so much for us. All the time. I've described him as the Guido de Arezzo of the digital age, Richard Rice. So he's written our Mass setting that we'll sing tomorrow. I think it's the most brilliant one written in the last 40 years. It took us a long time to finally come up with a piece of English Mass, but 40 years is not bad. We'll sing it, we'll have his debut performance tomorrow. And then, of course, when the text changes in a matter of months, it'll be defunct. So. Such is life with English. So on Tuesday and following, we'll move on with Latin. Dr. Martin may have some other comments about this as the week progresses, but one thing you'll notice is that the music is much more difficult and much more elaborate than probably anything you will ever do with your parish choirs. You might ask yourself what the point of this is. Well, part of the point is to inspire a certain ideal. If we don't have the ideals, we don't have any sense of direction. If here we can establish the ideals, then we can go forward, we get back to our parish, at least we know where we're headed. And the tedium of parish music life vanishes if you have a sense of where you're progressing. And that's what we're about. We're about establishing the ideals. And if you can do the hard stuff, you can certainly do the easy stuff. So we haven't given you that much music you can just take home with you and plot in front of your local schola or choir. But the point is to inspire a certain ambition. And as I say, you get experience in doing the most difficult, most elaborate music of the church. And then that will fire you up. It's certainly been our experience at my school at home. So, Well, I think the schedule is rather self-explanatory. I do want to draw attention to the organ recital tomorrow night by Isabel. Each night we have various sessions that are taking place. You can see them on the blue schedule. By the way, those of you who didn't get bags tonight, we are in the process of finding those. We sent many boxes to Duquesne. We think probably they're in the School of Music. Yeah, or either in the mail room or something like that. But you haven't been robbed of your red bag. You're ripped off. So don't ask for a refund or anything. Not before Thursday or something. And the other thing is, do we ever get more copies of the schedule, or are we still short on schedules? Who doesn't have a schedule? This is the blue sheet. Okay, we ran out, but we're getting those reprinted, so it should be fine. Okay, on the choirs. So we have a guide in here. The idea is that you choose which choir you'd like to be in. And we didn't give any precise guidelines. You have to kind of assess yourself. And there's nothing wrong with changing very quickly. We ask that if you do find yourself in a group that doesn't seem quite right for you, that you move by tomorrow, because the conductors would like to have some expectation about what they're going to be facing. As the week goes on, what kind of forces they're going to have. For the chant choirs, you can read the guidelines. I'm slightly nervous to even go through this, but just because it's so plainly laid out here in your schedule, which is page 9. So if you're beginning scholars, or people who are new to singing in choirs, who have never sung any chant before, there's a Karen, Panjo Lingua, and Holy Thursday doesn't count. So I guess tonight's chant doesn't count either. Yeah. I've got some difficult chant at some time and feel that the remedial course would be very, very beneficial. As I mentioned to you, Scott Turkey will be teaching the beginning scholar, so that's very exciting. Intermediate women, the difference between intermediate and advanced really is laid out here. You've sung quite a bit of chant, sings chant propers and ordinaries often, if not regularly, has a working knowledge of neumes. If you know what a pedalus is, a clevis, torquilus, paractus, clinicus, if those words sound crazy to you, maybe you should be the beginning scholar. Although, I wouldn't entirely discourage you from being ambitious and entering into a choir that seems slightly above your level. There's nothing wrong with that, because you do want to learn something this way. As I say, slip into the choir that you think seems most suitable for you, and then if you need to fall back or jump ahead after the first rehearsal, you can feel free to do that. Now, as you're going through the polyphonic choirs, we generally have really five, but I'm going to mention Cecilia Nam's choir first. We have, for the first time this year, a beginning choral studies class. This is a class designed for those who have never sung polyphony before in a parish sort of setting, meaning to say that you've never sung in an a cappella group, and you find it difficult to make your way through the notes and a difficult time reading music, or you're intimidated by the look of the whole thing. Cecilia is a wonderful teacher. If you feel it would be most comfortable for you to be in that choir, then you can be in that. It's primarily a learning choir. There is the option of singing later on in the week, right? We have a couple of pieces picked out. So I've already talked to many, many people who feel as if that might be the best home for them. Kurt Porterick's choir will be singing the Mise Brevis by Palestrina. I have a special affection for this piece because it's one of the first pieces of polyphony I ever heard. I was a jazz musician. I played in college. That's the way I paid for my tuition and books, was by playing bebop in college. I discovered the Gregorian chant, and after that, polyphony. The first piece of polyphony I ever heard was this Mise Brevis. And it retains a very special place in my heart. It turns out it's not entirely inaccessible for a typical, for a parish scola. So it's also the first large-scale mass by Palestrina. I think it's been sung at the colloquium in many, many years. So that'll be directed by Kurt Podbeck. William Mart is doing the Vespers this year. This is an extraordinary opportunity. Roman Vespers, he does these himself. He puts them together, a combination of a chant and polyphony. It's a rare opportunity for anybody who would like to be in this group, because you'll never have another occasion to do it. It turns out that Vespers is increasingly the vehicle that many cathedral choirs and parishes are using to introduce sacred music because, well, frankly, Vespers aren't quite sung very often, and as I mentioned, Gather Comprehensive, there's no Vespers service in there, to my knowledge, so it's an opportunity to introduce sacred music into the Vespers service. But William Art here gives us the ideal of Vespers, and it requires some competence as a singer to be a part of that. It's a very special occasion, and of course you'll be studying under a master. Virgil Brouwers this year is going to be leading the Scola through the wonderful Bird Gradualia. These are the pieces that he wrote while he was a court composer under Queen Elizabeth. And of course he's writing the English stuff, you know, for the Queen and the court. And then on the sly, he was writing pieces for the Catholic Church and distributing them semi-stat, you know, without a signature, all throughout London to go to the private masses that were being celebrated in various castles around. So it's very exciting. The Gradualia is sort of, underground music in a way. And this is the first time, really, in the history of the colloquium that we've been doing, that we'll be adding polyphony to the propers of the Mass. So this has never been done before. I must say, that these are challenging pieces, the Bird pieces. My experience with Bird so far is that they're very intimidating and difficult at first. Once you learn them, it's like riding a bicycle. You know, they're fine after that, but at least up front, they can be very difficult. So I would say probably for the most advanced singers, that would be the choir for you, either that or the Marx choir. Of course, Volkholz will be conducting this very exciting, thrilling Schubert Mass in G. As I said, we have a new score, newly done, especially for this colloquium, especially designed for the Catholic Mass. That will be on Sunday. It'll be with full orchestra, or at least orchestra, and a wonderful setting of Viennese Mass in the context of the Catholic liturgy. So we have quite a diversity of liturgical experiences here. Now, I should warn you about the Buchholz Mass. Do not plan to sing in that unless you're going to be here on Sunday. So that's very important. If you aren't going to be here for the Sunday Mass, don't plan to sing for it. Okay. I think I have one announcement about priest training.
Father
Majira.
Father
Pacey
with the priest training, and also
he'll
be serving as MC for the weekend celebrating some of the
masses. Okay. Father Majira. Thank
we
you
all
so
know
much.
It.
Okay. All right. There's two ways you can go about. Yes. Oh, Ben. Hi, Ben. Stand up, Ben. Yes. We mentioned him earlier. Yes. Yay. Okay.
Yes, if you want to find out about how to practice at some point when you have time, just come up and see me after the lecture tonight.
Yeah. I mentioned about time, you know, as Schaefer said, we were just in a meeting ahead of time before this dinner began. He said, well, it doesn't sound to me like looking at the schedule, we're going to have time for even half of these things that seem to be on the schedule. And it seems to be true in some ways. It's going to be a very rushed week, and it's exhilarating and thrilling in many ways. There's not a lot of room, so you have to get to where you need to be right on time, get to Mass early, and get to bed early, so we can catch up on this week next week. Okay.
Jeffrey, you got to count.
Yes, that's next step. Okay. So, when it comes to polyphony choirs, rather than leaving this to pure chance, we'd like to just kind of march through a little bit. If you can just in your own minds right now, think about which choir you're most likely to want to sing in.